We've been teaching on the prayer of faith, and you know, I've just sort of gotten stuck here. The Lord just has things He wants me to talk about. One of the things that we're laying down as a foundation, I've never talked, we're on our fifth time on this, and we're not going to be done with it yet, is because we're laying a foundation. As I said, when starting this, one of the things that we want to look at is this. People, many times, and I thank God, you know, I was taught about the principles of faith, how the principles of faith work. But knowing the principles of faith does not get you what you want. You can know the principles. Number one, you have to have faith, and then use your faith in the operation of those principles, and then they bring things to pass. In other words, you got to know, you know, and be fully persuaded and confident that it's going to work. You have to know that. You know, you can turn around and follow all the right principles, but it requires faith on our part. And we've been using the foundational scriptures. Is what we want to look at is, and I'll just what read to you it from Mark 11 and verses 23. Well, I'll just Mark 11. I'm going to start actually verse 22. It says, "And Jesus said to them," verse 22, "have faith in God," which really means have faith in God, or have a God kind of faith, or have faith like God has. That's what you're supposed to do. And so now, then Jesus goes on to tell us what faith in God is, or how faith, to have faith like God. He said this in verse 23, "For assuredly I say to you, whoever says this mountain be removed and cast into the sea and does not doubt in his heart, but believes that those things he says will be done, he will have whatever he says." Then he went on to say about the prayer of faith. He said, "Therefore I say to you, whatever things you ask when you pray, believe you receive them and you will have them." And now we talked concerning communion and made mention of the fact that he went on here to talk about prayer, and he said about your, when you stand praying, if you have anything against anyone, forgive. Tells us if you don't forgive, God's not going to forgive you. In other words, you reap what you sow. Reaping what you sow. So you want to forgive. I don't know about, because every once in a while, I need it. Have you ever been there? Is anybody here, you never need forgiveness? If there is, just raise your hand. We'll have an altar call for liars, get you saved right away. Keep you out of hell, because all liars are going to be in the lake of fire. Read at the end of the book. It's there. Hallelujah. But we know that. But the whole thing of it is understanding it. Sometimes people don't get their prayers answered because of that. They wonder why. I'm following the principles. But see, they're not walking in faith with the Word. They're not following the principles of the Word. Yet they believe what it says, the Scripture says. Now, I want you to see this. Mark 11, 23 is really outlays what the law of faith is. In Romans, Paul calls it the law of faith. He said there's a law of faith and a law of works. This is the law of faith, Mark 11, 23. It's believing something in your heart and not doubting it and saying it with your mouth. He said in that doing that, you can have what you say. Now, he turns around and tells us is how you use that law in prayer. So if you're going to pray, what do I do? How do I use that law in prayer? I use that law in prayer in verse 24. "Therefore I say, whatever thing you ask when you pray, believe that you receive them and you will have them." In other words, at the time that you pray, this is the law of faith used in the prayer of faith. Now understand this. We talked about that. I can't go back and teach it all, but you can go online. You can listen to them free. They're right there online. You can download any of these messages. And we talked about the fact of this prayer is when we're asking or we're praying, this is dealing with us personally. You just can't get everybody else what they want. If you could, we'd just get everybody saved. I just believe God and everybody be saved and everybody's going to heaven. We'll just go right to the millennium. What do you think? Sound like a good idea, but it ain't going to happen. Is this, the prayer of faith is speaking specifically. Now there's people who are under your authority and things. I know from here in this church, lots of times I've seen over the years, if somebody usually comes here like the first time, or especially if somebody hasn't really been taught very much about, you know, the faith and things like that, I can almost always pray for a person, get them healed every time. Now, it won't, most of the time I can never do that again. God requires them now. They see that God works. They need to start believing something. You can't carry people in your faith. When my kids were little, I could carry them on my faith. My kids were little, man, I tell you, I could sit down and believe God and have things happen. As they grow up, I can't do that today. My daughters are married and they have their authority and their husband and everything. They need to operate. They can get me to agree with them, but I can't carry them. I can't carry them in my faith anymore. I can't just pray the prayer of faith. Now, if they're believing, we can get together and pray the prayer of agreement, which is basically the prayer agreement is two people believing the same thing and practicing the prayer of faith, or they can do it through confession. Now, I want you to understand this. The principle of faith that is laid out, the law of faith, will work without praying. Now, over the years, I never prayed concerning healing. I never do that for myself. I don't do that. I just make declarations of faith. I just say something. What you could pray. Either way, you could do it. See, God has more than one way of doing things. You could pray and act in the same manner, or you can say. And I got a revelation the Lord gave me one time, and he said this to me. He said, did you ever notice, he said, that Jesus never prayed about animate objects? He spoke to trees, he spoke to the wind, he spoke to the seas. He never prayed about them. And I said, no, I never heard anybody talk about that. Never heard anybody say that. He said, and he told me, you need just talk to the things around you. Talk to stuff. You want something to come to you, you talk to it. See, I don't pray about money, I talk to money. I learned to talk to things. You talk to stuff. Now, you don't have to, you can pray about it, but that's what he dealt with me on. I never realized that before. And over time, I started putting that to work to things around me. I started calling things to me. I didn't specifically pray. Now, you can use the principle of prayer and do it. You can, if you want to. I just thought it's nice that God gave us more than one choice. So you can, you know, we can bring things to pass. See, people get over today and they have their one way and they just stick on their way, and anything changes, now they want to start a new church. Yeah, you got to start a new place because, you know, they aren't practicing what I practice, you know. And so we want to follow in line with these principles. Now, one of the things that we wanted to find out, the law of faith is told to us here, but, you know, we don't have in this scripture where Jesus talked to the disciples and told them about this law of faith and prayer, we don't have all the revelation that there is concerning this. And we began to look because Jesus, if we looked at the, and we did, we went through the things, and I just wanted to share some of this with you this morning again, go back over it. But what we did was we looked at what Jesus said then about prayer, because on the night that Jesus was betrayed, we have in John, the 15th and 16th chapter, specific things that Jesus, information he gave the disciples of how things were going to change, because he was going to die on the cross. They didn't get it all or figure it all out, but he's preparing them for that. And what he told them, a revelation that you need to understand when you pray, which a lot of the church world just throw things out there. They don't follow the rules that God has established or put down to do things. So there was further revelation given, and we went over some of these things. And I'm just going to read to you some of these. John 16, and I'm just going to go through because you can write them down to look at it, because we already went through these. In John 16 and verse 22 through 24, Jesus said, therefore, you now have sorrow, but I will see you again and your hearts will rejoice, and your joy no one will take away from you. And in that day, now this is going to be the day of his resurrection is what it's going to be. He's going to talk to you. He said, in that day, you will ask me nothing. Most assuredly, I say to you, whatever you ask the Father in my name, he will give you. Until now, you have asked nothing in my name. Ask and you will receive, that your joy may be full. Hallelujah. So Jesus told you. Do you understand this? There's no such thing as sometimes God says yes, sometimes God says no, sometimes maybe or later. It couldn't be, because your joy, Jesus tied it to your answered prayer. If God ain't answering your prayers, then God don't want you to have joy. God don't want you to have joy. Jesus said your joy is tied to answered prayer. He wants you will never have fullness of joy as long as you believe God won't answer you. It's an impossibility. If God's not going to do what he said, Jesus said, and this one thing the church is always trying to figure out ways to get around this, because we take these verses and we try to understand them with our mind, and we make up a God over here that you really can't trust what he said. Jesus said that whatever you ask the Father in my name, the Father's going to give it to you. And then we add 14 things onto that. You should never add anything onto that than other than what Scripture says. And Scripture never says sometimes God says yes, sometimes he says no. You cannot find that in Scriptures. That is 100% made up by men. And it is preached like the gospel. And I know. I was in church as a kid, grew up and heard it. And that was their scriptures. And they would uphold it. If you read this scripture, they would throw that out immediately. That was the one, because, you know, you couldn't trust Jesus said that. But you need to understand, Jesus said, in my name, God will give you anything. You're tied to the authority of the name of Jesus because you're tied to Jesus. You're in his body. The head and the body don't have two different names. It don't have two different authorities. Your head don't have an authority your body don't have. Your head can't do nothing if the body don't cooperate. Did you ever notice that? If your body decided to get up and leave, your head would go along with it today. I'll guarantee you. And if it didn't, my God, that would be a miracle, wouldn't it? Hallelujah. Well, anyhow, it won't. We're tied to Jesus, and we are tied to the authority that's in Jesus Christ. And Jesus said, I give you the authority in my name. In other words, just like a power of attorney. You have the authority in my name to ask the Father anything, and he will give it to you. He said, you have that. I mean, to me, when I think about that as a natural standpoint, that's like handing a baby an atomic bomb, you know. It's like, my God, God put that kind of authority in our hands? And then the church sits down, well, see, it couldn't be because it's too great and God would never give us anything like that. So God sometimes says yes, sometimes he says no. They turn to faithlessness and begin to start to preach their faithlessness because in their minds, this is not to understand with your mind, it's understand your heart. Faith is what you believe in your heart and don't doubt, not in your head. Your knucklehead will believe anything. Your dumb head will get all kind of ideas that aren't true. Your head, and you know what? There's devils that will come along and tell you dumb. There's voices that will come and speak. God will send, the devil will send people to come and say dumb things to you to try to get you at unbelief. You'll hear all kinds of stuff. You know, it don't matter. See, this is what I mean. I'll tell you what, I'm at more peace at life today than I was any time in my life. And yet I live in a country that's got more trouble than it's ever had in any time in my life. Why? Hallelujah. My head don't rule me. Thank God my head doesn't rule me. My head keeps trying. It keeps trying to rule me. It keeps trying to dominate. But I ain't going to let it dominate. I ain't going to let it rule. I'll tell you, Jesus said, told us to guard what we hear. Hallelujah. Don't be listening to all the junk. You don't need to listen to everybody and these commentators and whatever else and that are always saying this stuff. Opinion, people's opinions. Most 90% of news today is opinion. I got an opinion too. You got an opinion too. But sorry, you don't want to hear mine and I don't want to hear yours. Let's sit over and get God's opinion on this thing, on what you're after and what you want. And let's stick with that. Hallelujah. Glory to God. If you want to talk your opinions, make sure first you're in line with God's opinion on the subject. Make sure first. First of all, get in line with God's opinion. Hallelujah. His is good. Jesus, so we went on. We also used the scripture from John 15:16, where Jesus said, you did not choose me, but I chose you and appointed you that you should go and bear fruit and that your fruit should remain, that whatever you ask the Father in my name, he may give you. Now I want you, they were specifically, he said to the disciples, and we went through this, we want to prove this through other scriptures, that we're as chosen as they are. We're appointed as much as they are. Now, we can't go through all those scriptures today. But he said, you did not choose me, but he said, I chose you and appointed you, what? To bear fruit. And what is that fruit? Answered prayer. It's answered prayer. That's what he said. That whatever you ask the Father, you get it. See, no one has a fruitful Christian life who can't get their prayers answered. There's no such thing as being a fruitful Christian and you can't get your prayers answered. A fruitful Christian life is getting your prayers answered. That's a fruitful Christian. You've been chosen for it and you've been appointed to it. See, this is why we got to get the unbelief. We got to get the unbelief out of the church. You know, when I got born again and came in the kingdom, there was a move of God and people were believing a lot better than they do today. Today, we've gotten away from the truth. The so-called word people have gotten so far away from the truth and that kind of stuff. There's so much skepticism. There's so much reasoning in the church. Men's reasoning, men's ideas. Like I said, we all got one. But hallelujah, I want to know what the word says. God chose you. He appointed you for this purpose. That whatever you ask the Father in Jesus' name, you get it. You bear that fruit. Hallelujah. A fruitful prayer life. What good is your Christianity if you can't get what God gave to you? I want to know what good is. What is it good to the sinner he can't get saved? What good would it be? What good would God bless me with every spiritual blessing in heavenly places? I can't get them. What good is that? Well, he's number one. I'm not trying to get him. He said, I'm already blessed. The reason the church has struggles is because the church is always trying to get what was already given to them. They're always trying to get it. People are trying to get healed. I ain't trying to get healed. I am healed. That's the scripture says, by his stripes I was healed. It says, he took my infirmities and bore my sickness. I'm not trying to get something. I already got something. The devil will come and say, no, it ain't yours. You're going to have this. And you have a choice. Are you going to fly on the eagle's wings? Or are you going to get down there with the gophers and go back in the hole and winter's going to be coming some, you know, it'll get spring later on. What are you going to do? You have a choice. It isn't no strange thing that you're attacked. The devil is going to come along and try to tell you that all the blessings don't belong to you, that you'll get them someday. It's like the church I was in as a kid. They used to use the term, in the sweet by and by. They used to sing a song about that. In the sweet by and by. I made up a song. It's called The Sweet Here and Now. Yes, I get it now. Hallelujah. In the sweet here and now. Hallelujah. The blessing you get sweet here and now. Glory to God. You need it here and now. Faith is about working here. There's no battles to fight in heaven. There's no demons up there. The devil don't come and try to drop sickness on your door up there. There's no poverty in heaven. God ain't doing without a thing. And the angels, they ain't missed lunch. Everything's going well. And we need to get it. We need it here. This is the place to where we live here. This is where the blessing, this is where it works. Here. This is the proving ground of faith. Here. This is the place of proving is here, is in faith. Hallelujah. We can trust God. God will do what he says. God wants you. God's desire that you have a fruitful life. Listen what Jesus went on to say. And we talked about this scripture. We did this last week in John 15:7-8. And look, we're laying out these scriptures because faith comes by hearing and hearing by the word. You know, you might say, well, I know this. Well, have you gotten all your prayers answered? Everything you wanted? If you ain't, well, then you need to hear this again. See, I need to hear this over and over and over again. Why? Because there's things come along. Stuff happens in life. It's like I've told you folks, I never teach on the areas of faith or healing or anything like that I don't get attacked every time. But you know what? It used to bother me. Now I could care less. The devil always tries to come and try to do something stupid. And I just tell him, you know, go jump. I ain't taking that. I won't have it. I'm not going to do it. You ain't making me sad, mad, or anything else over the thing. You're a loser and you know it. Hallelujah. And then he takes his stuff and leaves. Now he'll come back again. He don't quit. See, that's why you don't go lay the word down and act like, no, you stay with the word. Don't be surprised that you're attacked. If you don't get attacked, be surprised. Hallelujah. If you don't get attacked, it might be a sign that he already has you. And I ain't kidding you. You get attacked. You will find this. You know, it's one thing as I followed after major ministries over the years, looking at history. And you'll always find this. The devil was always trying to kill people who had a voice and were using it. He always tried to kill them. He always tried to kill people who have a voice. You go back through. My words, he tried to kill Kenneth Hagin. You go back, Oral Roberts. You go back, look through the healing revivals. How many of the people in the healing revivals, when they were young, the devil tried to kill them? Stop those ministries. The Holy Ghost knows what's on your, the devil knows what's on your life. In the spirit realm, what you are and what you're called to is visible in the spirit realm. The devil knows more than most Christians know about their own calling and their own walk. See, that's why you need to get over in the areas of the spirit. You need to learn about where your is, your position, and where you stand and what you're doing. Okay, I'll do it. The Holy Spirit wants me to say something to you, Lou. Stand up here. Because the Lord spoke to me about this morning. I was going to talk to it later. But I just want to say, you know, what's going on with you isn't just about you. It's about Randy. Yeah. Just in the same way the devil does to people and their kids. The same way the devil does with people's kids. If he can't get to them on something, he'll try to get their kids. He'll comes around and he tries to do stuff. Don't be worried and concerned. He ain't going to do nothing about this. He has no say in this thing. Don't you be worried about it. It's him carrying on acting like he's something that he's not. The ministry will be fulfilled. And God's called you to a place to stand in it, and you will stand in it. Hallelujah. And you will fulfill it. You're not leaving here before your time. Hallelujah. 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 We'll minister some things later too. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Glory to God. See, the devil does things. You need to understand sometimes is what the devil does. You need to know how his operations and how he works. See, this is when you have this self-Christianity. You don't realize what's going on around you because it's just me and Jesus. No, it isn't. It's me and the body. It's me and people. And see, God does things to people because if he can't get to you on something, he might get to somebody next to you. See, ain't nothing made me madder if the devil tried to lay his hands on my wife or my kids. Ain't nothing made me madder. I mean, if he wanted to fight, he had one when he showed up. I'll tell you what, you know, I might have messed around with me sometimes and didn't always get to where I wanted to right away. But when it came to my wife and kids, you ain't messing with my wife and kids. You ain't messing there. And that's what the devil does. He tries to get to us in other ways. He tries to bring into our life. Understand that about people around you. The things that are going on. The things that are happening. Hallelujah. The devil wants to stop ministry. He wants to stop the church. He doesn't want life being preached. He don't want the gospel preached. He doesn't want, he'll do everything he can to stop that. And if you're helping it go, he wants to take you out. If you're just a person who supports ministries financially, the devil will want to take you out. Because if he can take something from that ministry, if he can do something to stop that thing, you need to understand the importance of the place you stand. You need to understand the importance of what you're involved in and your place. It is no little thing. See, non-supporters, the devil ain't going to chase after them a bunch because he owns their wallets. He owns their time. He owns their stuff. But you get people around supporting, he'll go after them as much as the minister. He'll go after them as much as the minister. Why? Because their support. We don't do it alone. We can't do it alone. And we're needed. And understand your place. Hallelujah. And don't let him rob the ministry. Don't let him do that. Hallelujah. Help. I'll tell you what. If somebody will preach the truth, I'll give them some money. Dear Lord, today you give somebody money that's preaching the truth. Hallelujah. Because there's a lot of money going to people that ain't preaching it. And when you got somebody that's a truth, I love to give to Brother Randy because he's preaching the truth. Hallelujah. And I love it because I never feel like he has his hand in my pocket. He's never whining and crying. Hallelujah. I love to give to people like that. Whiners, I don't give any money to. I tell you, God has to specifically tell me to give a whiner anything. I don't give whiner stuff. You know, I don't oil the greasy, you know, grease the squeaky wheel. I'm not one of them. Hallelujah. But praise God. God spoke here. Now we did it. We'll go back over the scriptures in John 15. Jesus said this. This is again Jesus, the highest authority. If Jesus said it, there shouldn't be any more discussion on the subject of Jesus. This is what Jesus said. He told us something else and added to our understanding concerning the operation in the prayer of faith. He said in John 15, verse 7, he said, if you abide in me and my words abide in you, you will ask what you desire and it shall be done for you. By this, what? By this, my Father is glorified. What? By what? Getting your prayers answered. God's glorified when he says, no, the answer's no this time. Now, maybe next time, maybe. No, it said the Father's glorified. Why? He's glorified when you get your prayer answered that you bear much fruit. And so you will be my disciples. Disciple, I can tell if people are disciples. They'll get their prayers answered. You got to follow the Lord to get your prayers answered because you got to follow the Word. See, the Word, you know, the name Christian was not given to the church by Christians. It was given by the world. In Antioch, the people who lived in Antioch called the ones who followed Jesus, they called the term Christian. The term Christian just means it's basic, is a disciple or one who follows the teaching of a person. So they're Christ, it was following their teaching. One who follows Christ's teaching, there's many people that are Christians, but they don't follow Christ's teaching. They should not expect to get much answered prayer. Disciples get answered prayer. Hallelujah. That's why if I wanted somebody to pray for with me and join with me, I look for disciples. I don't look for Christians. I look for disciples. People who follow the word, they'll produce fruit. Disciples proves to produce fruit. Oh, hey folks, this is good preaching. Jesus said it. You can get mad at me at it. It don't matter. Jesus said it. Get mad at him. I didn't invent it. Hallelujah. We're disciples. Our discipleship is proven through answered prayer. See, getting prayers answered ought to be a great goal of the church. And it's not. We have all kinds of other things. Don't swear, smoke, or drink. Well, dear, you can do those things that are nice. You don't do them. But if you don't get your prayers answered, That all goes up in smoke. It don't really matter much. We want answered prayer. Hallelujah. Glory to God. I'm not going to go through all the teaching on that. We could go through a lot more teaching on that. I want us to go over this morning. I want us to look at something here in John, in the 1 John. I want to go to 1 John because I want to show you something. And here's an important thing is you read 1st, 2nd, and 3rd John and understand where John is coming from on his teaching, because John says some things here that I want to identify the authority of saying these things, or these things are spoken. Because remember, we're reading the Gospel of John. John had written what Jesus said and things that Jesus taught there. But in 1 John, I want to go to the beginning of the first chapter, because I want you to understand this, is understand the opening. When you understand the authority in the opening of this letter, you'll understand the authority of this letter. John says this, look at this, John says this, that which was from the beginning, which we have heard and which we have seen with our eyes. Now, he's talking about Christ. We heard him, we've seen him with our eyes. Now, this is what he's talking about. He's talking about this one he walked with. He heard him and he saw him with his eyes. He said, which we have looked upon and our hands have handled concerning the word of life. We actually touched the Messiah. We actually touched God in the flesh on the earth. We heard what he taught. We touched him. We walked with him. We was living with this guy. We were here with him. Now, he's talking authority. I want you to understand this. When we go to, you went to a court of law, eyewitnesses hold the greatest authority in a court of law. Except the only place it doesn't is the church. The church wants to know how you feel, whatever else is going on. The high authority isn't who's the witness. Now, if you actually had John alive and you had the other disciples alive and there was a court hearing and they went down there and says, is the Bible really true or real? John and them could come in firsthand and say, look, we walk with Jesus. We saw him before he died. We saw him after the resurrection. The 12 disciples, that was their main message that they preached. And that's why is Paul could never stand in that office of apostle, because he never walked with Jesus. He didn't even know Jesus personally until after he got born again. Those guys, their whole point of their message, and it tells us in the book of Acts, that's why they appointed somebody to take Judas's place, and it had to be a person who had walked with them from the beginning, who saw him the whole thing, had been with them, who saw Jesus die on the cross, who saw him after the resurrection. It had to be someone. These guys are eyewitnesses of the teaching, of seeing him and hearing him. They walked with him. They touched him. These are eyewitnesses. See, I don't need any more than that. Is this thing real? This guy actually walked with me. Anybody else can say anything they want. I'm going to take his authority over anybody else. This is an eyewitness. And so this eyewitness is going to tell us some things here. He goes on in eyewitnesses. He said, this life in verse 2, the life was manifested and we have seen, and here's it, and bear witness and declare to you that eternal life which was with the Father and was manifested to us. This eternal life guy, this guy that was in the body here, God the Son. Hey, we were here with him. I'm testifying of this. I'm telling you, I know I've walked with him. And he said, that which we have seen and heard, we declare to you, that you also may have fellowship with us. And truly our fellowship is with the Father and with his Son, Jesus Christ. How can you have fellowship with God? You can't have fellowship with God outside the word of what they have seen and heard and what's preached concerning the word of God. You're not fellowship because you got born again. You have a relationship with God and being born again, but most Christians have no fellowship with God because the word's not really true. It's not something to them. They'll question it. Fellowship. If I want to have fellowship with John, see, I can fellowship with John because I believe what John said. And if I have believe what John said, I have fellowship with the Father and with the Son. See, that's why this sloppy grace preaching, you can't go on and preach the rest of this chapter with the sloppy grace that they have preached today, because the beginning of it shoots it. But we have uneducated people who are uneducated spiritually. They may have gone to schools and done other things, but they're uneducated spiritually and they are blinded by the devil from the truth of the word, and they preach lies and make a sloppy grace. This is not some sloppy grace. Hallelujah. This is a place. Our grace is a grace of power. It's a grace of glory. It's not some sloppy thing that you can sin and get away with it. Grace never meant to get away with sin. It was to deliver you from it. Hallelujah. Not so you can keep doing it. God has never changed. All sin must be judged. Never changes. And it will never change. Because if it is, God's a liar. God will never be a liar. It's not about getting away with something. It's getting away from something. And it's called sin. Hallelujah. He said, that's which we've seen and heard we declare to you, that you also may have fellowship, he said, with us. And truly our fellowship is with the Father and with his Son, Jesus Christ. And these things we write to you that your joy may be full. This is the message which we have heard from him and declare to you. That God is light and in him is no darkness at all. John's saying, look, this letter is being written by the things he taught us. And we're telling you what he taught us. That's what this is about. This one that we touched and we handled and we did. Now let's see, what did he tell? One thing I want you to look, because we're dealing with the areas of prayer. I want you to see this in 1 John, go to the third chapter. 1 John, the third chapter, and listen what John says here, which is going to give us some more information about this praying, this prayer of faith, about praying this thing. In John, the third chapter, in verse 20 says, for if our heart condemns us, God is greater than our heart and knows all things. Beloved, if our heart does not condemn us, we have what? Confidence toward God. And whatever we ask, we receive from him, because we keep his commandments and do those things that are pleasing in his sight. And this is his commandment, that we should believe on the name of the Lord Jesus Christ and love one another as he gave us commandment. Now, we look back on this. See, he's dealing in the areas of love. Remember, Paul dealt with the church. We talked about that communion. Paul dealt with the church at Corinth by walking in love. What their problem was, weren't getting their prayers answered. They believed in healing. Man, they saw healings. They saw miracles at Corinth. They saw those things. They believed in the stuff, but they weren't getting it. They weren't walking in love. So he tells us here, this is one of the reasons that they have here. He says, believing on the name. This is an important part. Most people, the name of Jesus is used just to tack on in prayer. It's like, well, you know, it's just like saying amen. No, the name of Jesus is the authority to have what you get. If you don't have faith in the name, you know, faith in the name, there's many people who don't get born again because they just say a sinner's prayer, but they have no faith in the name. Salvation is under no other name. It don't say salvation is under no other prayer. The authority of salvation is in Jesus Christ, and he's Lord. And see, we don't preach the Lordship. We don't preach Jesus being Lord over your life. Most people today that come to, they bring to Christ, it's God fix the problems of my life, but you ain't going to rule me. I'm sorry. Salvation is Jesus Christ, the ruler of your life. If you want something else to be the ruler of your life, you picked the wrong religion. This ain't the one you want to be a part of. Because you wasted your time. Jesus is Lord in this one. Salvation is under no other name. The authority. That name is that authority for you to be saved. The name is the authority for you to get your prayers answered. It's under the authority. So we have this. We have to understand the authority of the name, John teaches us, and the fact that you get over walking in love. You need to walk in love and understand the authority of the name, and you use that, walk in love and the authority of the name, you can get any prayer answered. Hallelujah. You talk about good news? Dear Lord, he didn't give a list of 27 things. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Walk in love and believe the name of Jesus. Hallelujah. And you got it. To me, that's good enough. Hallelujah. I'll tell you what, you'll work at it walking in love, I'm sure. You've been there already. Hallelujah. But you notice what I want you to said. He opened up the beginning, and I want you to see what's said here. You need to understand this. He said, for if our heart condemns us, God is greater than our heart. In other words, what it says, if your heart doesn't condemn you, if it doesn't, we have confidence. You can only have confidence toward God if your heart doesn't condemn you. And you need to understand this. Take what the law of faith is. The law of faith is believing in your heart and not doubting. Any kind of condemnation will bring doubt to you. You must deal with that. Now understand this, and I want you to get this. God doesn't condemn you. God does not condemn you. See, and there's one of the big false things that's taught in the grace things. God never condemns you, so a person feels condemned, they say, well, that's not God. God wouldn't do that. You're all right. We have produced loads of Christians with no conscience about sin. God won't condemn you for sin. Your own heart will do that. Your heart is designed to condemn you if you do wrong. This is designed by God. Your own heart will say, knock it off, scumbag. That's your own spirit. It's called conscience. You don't need a little devil and a little angel sitting on your shoulder. You don't need none of that. You have been designed by God with a conscience. And your conscience will condemn you if you do what's wrong. You don't walk in love. And, you know, and folks, you need to understand how wonderful that is. That's the great safeguard. That's the great safeguard. Your own conscience says to you, knock it off. Why? Because your heart wants to bring to pass the things of God, and you're stopping it. And your heart said, let me bring it to pass. Let me bring this. I want this prayer answered. And the flesh is saying, nah, I just want to keep doing what I'm doing over here. I just want to stay mad about that. Let me alone. And your heart said, don't do that. Don't do that. Don't do that. Why? Because the heart can't produce. It's sort of like taking a plant and it's growing real good, and then you put a bucket over top of it and stop the light. That's what it does. But see, when your heart doesn't condemn you, John tells us the outcome. If your heart doesn't condemn you, what's the result? And whatever we ask, we receive. He said, whatever, at the time that I, whatever I ask, I receive. That's what it says. Whatever I ask, I receive. Well, that's Mark 11:24. Whatever thing you desire when you pray, believe you receive it, you have it. When are you supposed to believe you receive it? At the time you pray. You don't try to believe it when it shows up. They don't take any faith to do that. Anybody that's godless, I mean, a Satanist can believe that. There's no sign of faith in that. But the faith is in the fact, believing at the time that you pray, you receive it. That's what he said here. If we pray, we receive it. Okay? And when I ask for it, God said, yep, it's yours. Never once has he ever said to me, wait, no, it's not yours. No, no, some other time, maybe later. You know, maybe not at all, whatever. In my timing. You know, I've had not many times people come to me and say, pray for me about something. But I want it in God's timing. Well, I said, when you find out what the time is, come back and ask me to pray. We'll pray when you tell me, let me know what the time is. Because until that time, you can't get in faith. You can't get in faith to believe for something that he has not given. It must, how could I believe for, like, if Mike never told me he'd ever give me a dollar, I couldn't have faith that Mike would give me a dollar, could I? Now, Mike said, hey, Edward, if we need a dollar, let me know. Well, then I could believe I could go to Mike and ask for a dollar. And if he didn't give it to him, he's a liar. But Mike ain't a liar. If Mike said he'd give me a dollar, he'd sure do it. But we need to understand, this is good. People don't know what God's going to do or say, and they turn around and say, well, I'm praying and believing. Well, if you were believing anything, what are you praying about? If you believe he already gave it to you, what on earth, what are you spending your time praying? You should spend your time shouting, praising God. You got to say, glory to God, hallelujah, I ask you for healing. And you know he gave it to me? I say, well, you don't look well. I don't care if I look well or not. He gave it to me. Glory to God, I have it, it's mine. No, we have this stuff here. Then it shows up and we're shocked. We say, wow, did you see what God did? I was asked about that some years ago. A person asked me when something showed up why I didn't get all excited. I said, I'm sorry, I was excited a long time ago. I said, I got it when I asked for it. I said, I knew it was going to show up. That's no problem at all. His God had to show up. Jesus would have been a liar. Is that ever going to happen? One of the most greatest books I ever got in my life was that little mini book from Kenneth Hagin, Don't Blame God. If it ain't working, it ain't God's fault. And when I got that book as a young Christian, it was the best thing that ever helped me. I turned off a lot of what other Christians were saying. Boy, I turned it off. Because lots of people, well, God. See, they didn't get what they were asking for in their way, and it didn't show up. So they blamed God. See, God said no. They wouldn't deal with, well, you know, I must be messed up somehow. This didn't work. No, we don't want to do that because, see, I'm greater than God, you know. I'm just so darn wonderful. I mean, just look at me. My words. I must be really spiritual. He said, I heard a woman say that, God gave her cancer because he knew she could handle it and others couldn't. And I thought, you scumbag, I'd love to take you up to the children's hospital and show you all your God's work. Could they handle it? You talk about prideful. You know, that woman died, and rightfully so. Such pride. Such pride. What arrogance of people to say such things. You know, we live in a world that's fallen apart, and it's fallen apart because it's just like the church that's fallen apart. They're not believing the word, not believing in this great, good, wonderful God that we got is so incredible. Hallelujah. The one that you can count on without a doubt. Now, I want to read you this verse here yet. We want to look at this one as the scripture says from 1 John, the 5th chapter. Because look, we're laying groundwork. This teaching, I'm just reading, this is what Jesus taught John. These are the things that he taught. He taught the disciples. So we can say this. These are the words of Jesus. This is what Jesus. If he taught John and John taught it, I'm going with John. Because it's right in line with what Jesus said that John wrote. That John wrote in the Gospel of John. See, some people, well, that was for them back then. That's not what it says here. He wrote it, the letter to the Christians of his day. This is what Jesus was saying to the Christians these days. Now, John, the first John, the fifth chapter. Now, this is what it says. Now, this is the confidence that we have in him. This is the confidence that we have in him. Now, listen, this confidence, the word confidence, it means faith or belief that one will act in a right, proper, or effective way. The quality or state of being certain or assured. You're certain that somebody's going to do what's right. God's going to keep his word. You're assured of it. See, you can't have any more faith, the assurance that you have. Faith is the place where you come to that what God said, you're so assured that it's so, you can't see it any other way. You're assured. That's when you believe in your heart and you don't. And there's no doubt. You're assured. You know it. It belongs to you. Health and healing belongs to me. Sound mind belongs to me. It's mine. You know, people are trying to get the mind of Christ and the Bible says you have the mind of Christ. What on earth are you trying to get it for? You already got it. Hallelujah. Start out thanking God you got the mind of Christ. Dear God, quit trying to get it. I'm not trying to get the mind of Christ. He's a person and he lives in me. He's called the Holy Ghost. He's the mind of Christ. And he's in there to take anything that belongs to Jesus and shows it to me. He's just like my computer is. If I log in with the right password, it is available to me to anything that's on my computer. And if you log into the Holy Ghost and listen to him, anything that belongs to Jesus will be shown to you. Hallelujah. See, but you got to know the Holy Ghost. You know him. See, I know him. Glory to God. I know him. I know the Holy Ghost. I don't see how you're in the ministry. So many ministers are without him. I don't know how they do that. I'd hate to think because it'd just be me laboring. I'll tell you. Oh my God, I did enough labor on my own in life. Hallelujah. But there's the Holy Ghost and you need the Holy Ghost. And he's in you. He's given you the mind of God. He's living inside you. He's a living being. He's a God being. He's God, the Holy Spirit, living inside of you, the mind of God. And there he is for us to tap into all that we want or all that we want to know. He's there to reveal Jesus Christ. He has never told me in all the years that God sometimes says yes or sometimes says no. Never ever said that one time. He has shown me at times why certain things didn't work for me, and he explained to me what I was doing wrong and what I need to change to do to make it work. And he always brought me over in line with the Word. See, he takes the living Word, what belongs to the living Word, and he shows it to us. The Word will always be revealed. He will always reveal to you in line with the Word. That's how do you know him. If you don't know much about the Word, he can't talk to you about much. As I've grown in the Lord, I know him more and more now because I know more and understand more of the Word. So the more my personal relationship with the Holy Ghost is much greater than it was when I started off because I can talk to him about more things intelligently than I used to. He was really good to me when I was a little stupid young Christian running around. In spite of my stupidity, he did a lot of wonderful things for me, just like he does for you. And some people, they're expecting, they've been a Christian 40 years and they're still expecting him to do that. He ain't gonna. Forget it. You got to grow up. He won't tie your shoes anymore. Forget it. He'll want you to tie them. Hallelujah. Why? Because it comes a great benefit when you can tie them yourself. You won't be stumbling around all the time. Hallelujah. But the Holy Ghost is in you. The mind of Christ is in you. This is the confidence that we have in him. He said, in other words, you're supposed to have this confidence that if you ask him anything according to his will, he hears us. You're supposed to be confident of that fact, that if anything you ask him according to the will. Now the will is what? We talked about the will in the beginning in communion. The will is what the word says. It's what the covenant says. Anything that's in line with the will, if you ask him, you're supposed to have confidence that God hears you. You need to understand this. God does not hear everybody that prays. God does not. John's just telling us a wonderful revelation. God doesn't listen to everybody. You have to have the confidence that he hears us. Your prayer will go nowhere without your confidence. It goes nowhere. Just throwing things out there. See, we in Christian, we don't like to deal with these. We want a God that is really loving and he just, you know, In spite of it. People say, well, God knows what you want. Yeah, but he told you to ask and set up rules of how they need to be asked and how it need to be done. It just ain't it. Heaven's got rules, just like here on the earth. We got gravity. You don't want to turn it off. This is the church world today. Turn off all the spiritual laws because God's love. And that's why the church goes nowhere. That's why the power of God stopped. That's why we don't see the demonstrations of the Holy Ghost. You can't have, the Holy Ghost will not manifest in an ungodly atmosphere. He won't show himself. He doesn't reveal himself outside of the laws of the kingdom. He's not a renegade kingdom. It's a kingdom of righteousness. It's a kingdom of holiness. It's a kingdom that's true and the words are true. And there's rules to follow. There's walls around heaven. Haven't you noticed? The Bible says clearly, nothing ungodly gets in it. As Randall Greer said, and I've known it and agreed with him when he talked about it, the fact of, he said the reason we don't have, they don't want walls and a border because the church don't want any walls. The church has the walls open to let anything in it. You're allowed to commit any perverted thing, any creepy thing. You can just bring it in the church and God's full of love. God accepts you the way you are. That's the biggest lie that was ever said. There's rules to getting into the kingdom. God don't accept you. God wants to change you. If you want to stay the way you are, you're going to end up in hell. Dear God, God wants you changed. He don't want you the way, he accepts you the way you are. Good God. If he did, I wish he'd treat me that way. He comes after me, talks to me about stuff when I do it wrong. He'll get straight with me. But all these people, he just runs around, don't do nothing. You know, I know this, God loves me, maybe more than most, because he said he chastens the one he loves. I tell you what, he must love me. That's all I got to say. He must be in love with his boy. No, but I'm so glad. He disciplined me. He disciplines me like a soldier. He told me when I was first got saved, he told me to take the training, that how they trained us in the army, and apply those things to, he said, your spiritual life. Discipline, get yourself over. Learn to listen to orders, whether you agree with them or not. Learn to, you take God's word, says something, that becomes the fact. When your commander told you something, you went and did it. That's what you did. See, the church don't do that. Today we have this, Jesus is not Lord. Jesus is only a Savior. But he's not Lord anymore. He don't have control. He saved you so you could live the life you wanted. I wish he'd have gave me that choice. I wouldn't be preaching today if I'd have got my choice. Jesus didn't call me what I was talented to do. He called me to a place I had to walk by faith. I had to do what I couldn't do. That's what he called. And you know what? I thought it was hard at first, but I love this life now. I love it. I wouldn't want a different life. My God, don't offer me anything else. Money could never pay for this life. It couldn't do it. Not to know God. To know God is the most phenomenal thing. Man, when things are going wrong, the greatest thing that I have is that I know God. There is nothing greater than I can wake up in the morning and sometimes, many times during the night, and conscious of Him. Conscious of him, man, there's a God. He's present with me. He moved in. He's living inside of me. Most Christians will live and die without knowing that God's in them. They're always trying to get him. Most books that have ever been written concerning the presence of God are always trying to get to the presence when the presence is already inside of you. Now, I want to get the presence to manifest, don't you? But I'm not trying to get the presence. The presence of God. He lives inside of me. I'm not trying to get the presence. God's present everywhere. What I want to do is provide a place where he can come and manifest his presence. Hallelujah. For you're the glorious house. You're the house that I planned. And I planned before the foundation of the earth. So my glory could come and rest in you. That you and I would be one together and walk together. That I could fellowship with you and know you and you could know me as I'm known. I've desired this day to walk. I desire this day. But many draw back. Many go after things that seem good and look good. Oh, but come in line with the Word. Come and know me, says the Holy Spirit. And I will reveal Jesus to you. And you will know your Master and you'll walk with Him. You'll fulfill His plans. You'll fulfill His purposes. And His purposes will bring to pass your heart's desires. Hallelujah. 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 Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. Thank you for those words. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. See, we're going someplace. We're going higher. We're going to something. Hallelujah. We're not going away from something. We're going to something. Hallelujah. God's provided a path. He's provided a way. And we're walking in that way. We ask anything according to His will. He hears us. You need to know that. He hears you. If you know, you have to know that He hears you. If you're asking according to His will, you need to settle yourself. Meditate on this till you're so assured that when I ask, I know He hears me. I know I'm asking according to His will, and I know He hears me. And then John says this. Oh, hallelujah. Now, this confidence is about knowing that He hears you. If you know He hears us, if you know that, if we know that, whatever we ask, we know that we have the petition we have asked of Him. I want to tell you, those words are so gracious. See, people want a great grace and they think a great grace is being able to sin. I would think the great grace would be one of these things. You get your prayers answered. I think that's great grace. To me, that's some grace that I want. I want that grace. I want to be able to believe these words in their fullness. I want them so revealed to me that my prayer life is a place of no doubt. My prayer life is never a place where doubt can come walking into it. It's a place. That's where I want to go to. Ain't none of us arrived there fully. You know, there's things that we know in part. We're still growing at. We're still. But I'll tell you what. I got a target I'm shooting at. I'm on a, just like I've said, you know, when I was a sinner and a drunkard, you know, you drink the booze you get a hold of. But everybody would like to drink the top shelf stuff. That's what you wanted to get. But you couldn't afford the top shelf stuff. So you couldn't do that. But I want to tell you, God wants you to shoot for the top shelf. The church today has a gospel preached way down here. And people don't even hit that mark. They're below it. We won't preach divine healing today. They're afraid to because, well, what if some people can't get a hold of it? So what do? No top shelf. Tear all the stuff off the top shelf. Go sit at someplace because somebody can't hit the mark. I'm going to tell you, I'm going to keep preaching the top. I'm going to teach people how to get to the top. The Lord said this when I started the church and I almost thought it was the devil talking to me. He said, I want you to start a church. And He said, I want you to teach people so they know me like you do. And I thought, dear Lord, I'm trying to find a place to teach me so I can. But I didn't realize this when I started church because I didn't think I knew much. I was surprised how little people knew. How little people knew. You don't ever take for granted. Don't ever take for granted that Christians know anything. Don't ever take for granted. I'll tell you, if you've sat in this church, you've heard enough good stuff, my words, you know more than a lot of most preachers do. You know more about the Word of God than most preachers out here know about the Word of God. Because that's what we promote. We take the Word of God. We hand it to people. You know the Word of God, I'll tell you, there's loads of people, they don't know God. He's not real to them. He's just information on a book. It's like Randall Greer's, when the Lord revealed to him, he said, in the last days, there's two types of churches. There's the... He said the informational church and the informational. We got loads of informational churches. And they're Spirit-filled churches that are just informational churches. All they do is they teach the principles of stuff, but it's just information. Then there's the revelational church. There is no faith without revelation. Revelation is what brings faith. When revelation comes, see, we're a revelation church. See, I want to know what God's revealing and what God's saying about His Word. I just don't want to... I don't need no more information. I need revelation. I can quote a lot of things from the Bible, but I don't have full revelation on it. I want the revelation. It ain't just quoting scriptures and saying stuff. I want to have the revelation of their life and get that life of those words in me. Jesus said, my words are spirit and their life. Hallelujah. Let's stand to our feet. Stand to our feet this morning. Hallelujah. Spirit and life. Spirit and life. Hallelujah. Words. Spirit. See, we're speaking these words out of the Scriptures today. Why? They're spirit and their life. Their spirit to you in their life. Believe in these Scriptures. See, God wants you to approach your prayer life concerning you personally, and especially, whether we have husband and wives here or something, or you maybe have friends or something that you're very close to, you get people believing on the same level. The power when people get together and can actually believe God, and do, it is amazing what happens. It's absolutely astounding what can be done when you get people joined together in faith. What one individual can do, walking by faith in God, following the word of God. You know, King Hezekiah was quite interesting. King Hezekiah, when he became king of Israel, Israel had been a mess. They were a mess. When he came over, the temple wasn't being used. They had put idols in it. They had done all kinds of stuff and did things. Made a mess of things. One man came, and he's going to set things in order. And he went back to set the temple in order, and he sent things in order. Now, he didn't do everything around that was perfect and everything, but one thing I always appreciated about him was the fact of, his heart was after God. Sometimes he's like you and I, our flesh did things that, but his heart was after God. And Hezekiah came along, and you take concerning his heart, he came along and he was dying. Prophet Isaiah came in and said he's going to die. He says he turned his face to the wall. And you know what? God said you're going to die. In other words, the circumstances of what was going on at the time, he was going to die. You know, this is how fast God will answer prayer. He turned his face before the wall, and before Isaiah get out of the court, Isaiah came back and told him he ain't going to die. And Isaiah said this to him. He was going to, the amount of years that he would give him. One of the greatest things, though, that, and you need to know this, and is why you need to walk godly. Because if you don't, you will bring judgment. Or you can withstand judgment if you walk godly. God told Hezekiah, had said to this earlier in Hezekiah, he said, because Hezekiah walked right and did right, he said Israel was supposed to be judged. There was supposed to be judgment following Israel because of the ungodliness of the kings before him. And he said, that judgment won't come after you leave. I want you to understand this. When the remnant of Christians who follow God in this earth leave this earth, judgment's coming. Judgment's coming. We're withstanding judgment, but the church today has not withstood the judgment that could be withstood because of not walking in the light of things. This is why we need to come back and get some prayer lives. We need to get prayer lives back in the church again. People with some faith. And not just praying, just so I can get a new car and I can get a new this. There's nothing about having some stuff. Ain't nothing wrong with that. I ain't against money. Thank God for money. Send me more. Hallelujah. But there's things that are important in life, things we must have. And we need to use our authority. And the church needs to come back and begin to rule and reign again. We've left that. And that's why the condition of America is in its end. It's because of the church. Because the church is in the identical condition as a whole. Not every church, thank God. I thank God every day for you people believing God. Dear Lord, it is so good to have. But I'm going to tell you what, you guys surely ain't the majority. If you ain't noticed. You ain't the majority. I can take you to churches that used to believe pretty decent in this town and listen to ministers now. You know, you don't have to believe in the virgin birth to be saved and that kind of stuff. Oh yeah, man. And these are guys that used to believe good stuff. And now, wow, they've listened to all this junk going on. You don't need to believe this. You don't need to believe that anymore. You don't need to believe these things anymore. Well, I'm going to tell you what. I believe the Word of God. And I believe anything outside of it's a lie. Anybody preaching anything else is a lie. You know, just, it's what the Word says. Let's get the Word. And the Word is upheld. That was it. I always appreciated concerning John G. Lake. He said, if Jesus made a statement about something, he said that statement was above anybody else or whatever they said. He withheld what Jesus said higher than any other voice. No wonder God used him so mightily in ministry. See, we can come back to that. When I came into the kingdom and got born again, that used to be the thing. The Word of God was upheld up here. And now it's not. It's not the top thing on the shelf anymore. When Jesus, what Jesus declared is not the top anymore. I'm going to tell you that Jesus is the top. Father, I want to thank you this morning. Lord God, you want to do some things here this morning. And Lord God, we want to cooperate. And Lord, I recognize the fact we can't do these things by our strength or our wisdom. But Lord God, we need your anointing. We need your hand to do things here today. Lord God, your desire is to bless and to help people. That's your great desire. You blessed us with every spiritual blessing in heavenly places in Christ Jesus, and you want the people to experience those blessings, Lord God. Lord God, because sometimes, Lord, some here and some in this place today, Lord God, Lord, they have been held back, Lord God, in bondage, Lord God, of things. And Lord God, not by anything that they've done. Lord God, the pressure has been on. Satan is going after people. And Lord God, not because they committed any great thing or done any great thing, that he's on the attack and the move. But Lord God, you're on the move. Hallelujah. You're the God, the one that moves greater than all. Hallelujah. And Lord God, we yield ourselves today to you in the name of Jesus. And Lord God, cause your desire to set the captive free. Your desire, Lord God. Lord God, that people, Lord, not be under that mental pressure all the time on things, Lord God. Lord, depression. Lord God, depression. It's not been made for the church. It wasn't made. Lord God, our freedom of mind. Lord God, how could we rejoice in the Lord always? Hallelujah. Lord God, and living under a weight. Lord God, I want to thank you for, Lord, today that weight will be lifted in the name of Jesus. That weight is going to be picked up in the name of Jesus. Hallelujah. And tossed out, because the anointing destroys that yoke that is held. Hallelujah. Lord God, that there's freedom, there's joy and laughter again. Lord God, that the city of God and God's people are full of joy. Hallelujah. And rejoicing. Lord God, that you have planned and your purpose is for them. Hallelujah. And I thank you, Lord God. Lord, I thank you. We join together in our faith this morning. We unite ourselves in our faith, Lord God. Lord, we're a household built together, a household full of faith in God. A household is a place where there's freedom to worship and follow God. Freedom, Lord God, in a place the prayers are answered, Lord God, that the fruit of prayers, Lord God, of our prayer lives, Lord God, God rejoices and is glad and glorified of what's done in this place. And we thank you for it, Father. We thank you for it, Father. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Glory to God. Now, what I'm going to do, I'm going to ask Karen and Lou to come. We want to stand together with them. We want you to come up right up here in the front. And stand, you two stand together. Is it okay if I let them know what, you know, is good coming? Okay. Lou, I guess you had rheumatic fever way back yonder when you were a kid. His heart valves, there's some problems with them. And they had called and talked to me because, you know, Wanda went through heart valve operation. They wanted to know concerning about that. And one of the things that I want to, you know, to do is, and I know in my heart, because you can get over there sometimes and you sort of think, man, what did I do to bring this? And you didn't do anything to bring nothing. And you didn't do anything to bring any of this. This isn't got nothing to do with nothing. That, throw that right out of your mind, because that has nothing to do with nothing. This is about healing, deliverance, and we're going to agree. Grieve for him. See, the Lord said this, and we did concerning Wanda. You know, Wanda and I got into agreement concerning her going to the doctor and with the surgery and things going on. And God just blessed. But the big thing of it was when the Lord spoke to me when we first, not long after we first started this church, when we were out on Birch Road. And the Lord said this to me, you know, back then because of the teaching was going on, and because I was concerned. Because it didn't seem as many people were getting healed and things and stuff. And I was wondering what's going on. And so I asked the Lord about some things. And the Lord spoke to me and said, do you know why things aren't working? And I said, well, what? He said, and he told me about his revelation that he gave Kenneth Hagin. And I remember hearing it. But, you know, people don't generally preach some of those things. Don't come along and they're not preached. And he said, the Lord told him, divine healing, this is what Jesus said, divine healing is without the aid of any doctors or medications or any kind, you know, nothing natural. Divine healing is healing without any of that. But the Lord said this to him. He said, now if a person goes to a doctor, I want you to pray for them for a quick recovery. I want you to pray for them for a quick recovery. Well, I learned this because I knew of things concerning prayers of agreement. That it's not just a quick recovery. You pray for a quick recovery. That's what we told him. But Brother Hagin talked about using that prayer and how the miraculous things they saw take place in people's recoveries that before they didn't. He said, you know, because he said, you're always trying to get the person healed, and you're trying to get them healed, you know, through something, you know, miraculous divine healing, but many people didn't get a hold of it. And he said, and sometimes, for reasons we don't know, it's just like he didn't heal Kenneth Hagin's wife that way. And I just, you know, one of the things is you cooperate with what's in your heart, God's doing in your heart, and get the results, because you'll always end up with the results. And that's what I always learned. If I will go what he puts in my heart to do, I always get the results. That's the thing. Number one, I am only interested in the results. I am not interested in all the other junk people. we're in Christians about getting results, ain't we? You know? We got born again, we got a result. See, when people say the cold call, get born again, and it don't change them, we know they didn't get the result. We want the result. And our great desire is he gets the result. Because, number one, he ain't leaving. And number two, his health needs to be restored fully, and it will be. Yes. It will be fully restored. Hallelujah. He's going to have years taken off of his life. Amen. And the good side, he's going to get younger. Yeah. Those years that seemed to have been laying on you ain't going to be laying on you anymore. They're not going to be laying on you anymore. Hallelujah. So we're going to agree. He's going to have a quick recovery. He's going to have a miraculous recovery. Wanda had a miraculous recovery. This thing ain't something just for us to have and we're just... No, this is for the church. They're as much the church as we're the church. And I told them, I said, they come up here, I said, I want to agree with them. I want to stand with them. Because I want them to have people around them of faith and joining with theirs. We need miracles in the church. We need, again, where people can see outside of what the natural does. Thank God for what the doctors can do, but I want better for him than what the doctors. I want them to see Jesus Christ in this thing. I want them to see where they stop and say, wow, that's really something. Wanda had that. They knew then. This day, well, look at this. Outside the ordinary, that's what we need. We need Jesus visible in the church again. He has not been. He has not been visible. We talk about things, but we want him visible, and it will be visible. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. He has a job to do before he goes here. He ain't going anywhere till you finish your job. Hallelujah. Glory to God. So we're just going to agree in the name of Jesus. We're going to agree for your quick recovery, quick, speedy recovery. Now, can you believe that you won't have any pain?
I believe if I say it, I should have it.
That's right. Amen. Yeah. Well, you know, Wanda did it, and I've seen her do it more than one time, and it works. The whole thing, if you believe in your heart and you say it with your mouth, well, I'll agree with you. Hallelujah. She let not. When you're in the hospital, they're going to give you pain medication whether you want it or not.
Oh, my goodness. Yeah.
That's what they do. Wanda had that. She kept telling them, I don't have pain. They gave her pain medication anyhow. And just don't let it bother you. Don't let it worry you in the least. You just smile. Bless them by doing it because they'd get worried if you didn't. You don't want to worry them poor people. They got enough on their mind. Hallelujah. Just be a great patient, okay? Patient, you know, just be patient. Oh, that... Hallelujah. But we're agreeing, and there is going to be a miracle. I'm excited about it. God's going to prove himself again. Hallelujah. Thanks. And glory to God. I just appreciate it. Father, I want to thank you for my brother and sister here. Lord, I appreciate the work that they do in being hooked up with Randy because, Lord God, helping that ministry. Because, Lord God, I just appreciate that ministry so much. And Father God, Lord God, I want them to be able to continue to stand in the place that you called them. And Lord God, with a greater anointing. A greater anointing in the place that they stand, Lord God. Lord God, fulfilling the plans and purposes that you have given to them in this hour. And Father, I want to thank you. Lord God, I can't do nothing but smile thinking about my brother here. Hallelujah! Lord God, Lord, you'll just prove yourself again. I want to thank you. Lord Jesus, you spoke to Dr. Kenneth Hagin and told him to tell people to pray for them for a quick recovery. And Lord God, right now, in the name of Jesus, I want to thank you for an awesome, speedy recovery in the name of Jesus Christ. I thank you. That's what's going to happen here. Hallelujah. I thank you, Lord God. Lord, you're going to bring him through this thing. He's going to be up and about so quickly. Lord God, it's going to astound them. Hallelujah. And I thank you, Lord God, he will be refreshed. Lord God, Lord, right on top of what you called him to do and finishing the course. Finishing that course, Lord God, in the name of Jesus. Hallelujah. 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 And don't be concerned. Relax and rest in the name of Jesus. Relax and rest in the name of Jesus. Hallelujah. Yes. Hallelujah. Glory to God. There's much to come, much to come, much to come. changes to come, but oh, they're going to be good. There's been things that have been in your heart, but Lord God, there's, I thank you, the Lord's going to show you things are going to open up even more. Hallelujah. Standing in a places of authority. Oh, to be able to do the will of God. Be able to do the will of God. Being able to do the will of God. Being able to see and understand the spirit of seeing and knowing. Operating fluently, hallelujah, in the name of Jesus. And I thank you, Father God. I thank you, Lord God. The good work that you started in her, you're bringing it to completion in the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus. Hallelujah. 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 Well, I'll tell you what. Now let's praise God and laugh and shout that God's doing what He said. Hallelujah. Praise you, Lord God. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord God. You're doing it. You're doing it. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. God, Father, the perfect. We believe we receive it, so we have it. Hallelujah. We're not trying to get it. We got it. You gave it to us in Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. Now, I want to ask if there's anybody, you've been having like a weight on you, sometimes depression or something, you've had a weight on you, it just seems like your mind keeps wanting to stray over to the things, and sometimes you can get into that area, and you don't even, I mean, it's not necessarily something bad's happened, it just seemed like you're over in an area, and you're sort of down, and you don't even know why. If anybody's in that, come on up here. If anybody, don't be ashamed of anything, let's get free, you know, it don't matter. You know, if you ain't somebody come along and say, well, you know, I don't want anything because, you know, I don't want people to think that, you know, that I'm messed up. Well, we all know it. Come on. Come on down. Look, when you're dealing with problems, people around you know it. You know, if I'm dealing with a problem, Wanda knows it. You deal with things. So we're not trying to hide anybody. We're not trying to hide anything. We don't have to hide anything. You don't need to be ashamed. You know, you live in the world. As the Word says, you know, the Word tells you, in the world there's tribulation. Jesus said, I've overcome. This is ministry Lord wanted me to do today is because He wants His people to overcome. Now, you know, sometimes we can stand against things, but I just would rather, like, you know, this, He's anointed me and wants me to do this, so let's get this thing set in around and let's get, hallelujah. You ain't nothing weird, ain't nothing, you know, that you're just such a bad person and you had this happen to you. There might be people sitting out there and it's happening to them and they're standing back here and ain't going to receive it. I'll get it. I'll take it. I'll tell you what. When God's offering, I mean, my words, if it was a welfare line, people would be lined up 2 miles long to get something. Hallelujah. Glory to God. This ain't welfare. This is God's grace to His people.
Yes.
Amen. This is what you deserve. And this is what you got belongs to you in the kingdom. Freedom of mind and rest in your mind in the name of Jesus. You deserve that. This is not something that somebody, Jesus paid for it. Somebody else didn't pay for it. Other people didn't pay for it. Jesus paid for your freedom. He wants you to have it. He's offering it to you today. That's what He's giving you because He's just downright good. Isn't that wonderful? Hallelujah. To not step up and take it would be the shame, wouldn't it? How shame it is if people haven't stepped up and took their salvation. And what's going to happen to them? Offer to them free. Hallelujah. Freedom belongs to you. Father, these are your wonderful children. These are the ones that you bought and paid for through the blood of Jesus Christ. And Lord God, they belong to you. They're yours. They're not mine. They're yours. And I want to thank you, Lord God, and all your love and great mercy and kindness. You've reached out to them and you brought them into the kingdom and you've called them. You chose them. You appointed them, Lord God. And Father, I want to thank you. These ones that have been called, they've been chosen and appointed, Lord God. Father, you want them to walk in all the freedom that you have given to them in Christ Jesus. Father, I want to thank you today, Lord God, for the anointing. The anointing that destroys yokes of bondage in the name of Jesus. Lord God, Lord, a people who are free of the weight, Lord God, of demonic activity, Lord, that comes, Lord God. Lord, where spirits are acting against people, Lord God. Father, we stand together. What I'm doing today, Lord God, is our faith. And Lord God, I ask everybody out there, you stand in faith in the name of Jesus. You stand in faith. They need to be free. They need to be whole and sound. This is not a one-man show other than Jesus Christ, but we use our faith together for the deliverance of people. That's what we do. And I thank you, Father God. Hallelujah. They're set free. They're set free. They're set free in the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus. I bind any spiritual activity against my brother in the name of Jesus. I command you, Satan, get your hands off of his mind in the name of Jesus. And we set him free. We set him free. Devil, you take your oppression. He belongs to God. He's God's. Hallelujah. His heart and love and desires for God. Hallelujah. And he'll walk and live in it and fulfill the plans and purposes of God in the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus. Satan, you're bound. You're bound right now in the name of Jesus. I command you to cease and desist in your operations against my sister in the name of Jesus. I command you to stop what you're doing right now. You get your hands off of her. She belongs to the Lord Jesus Christ. And I plead the blood of Jesus Christ on her right now in the name of Jesus, and she's free. Hallelujah. She's free. She's free in the name of Jesus. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. And the glory of God rests on her in Jesus' name. Hallelujah. Lord God, and she's full of joy. Hallelujah. Joy unspeakable and full of glory, joy, 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 hallelujah, glory to God, hallelujah, 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 the yoke is destroyed in the name of Jesus, in the name of Jesus, freedom, mind free in the name of Jesus, hallelujah, wait, freedom, no wait, hallelujah, but free, a mind thinking clearly, hallelujah, a mind understands clearly in the name of Jesus, hallelujah, oh yes, 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 we throw down that torment, that thing that's going on, don't believe them lying spirits, you belong to Jesus, you're his, you're bought with the blood. It ain't none of the devil's. Devil ain't got nothing to say about it. I don't care if you messed up. He ain't got nothing to say about it. He ain't your Lord. Jesus is your Lord.
Yes, yes.
Jesus is your Lord. Yes. He's the one that has to do with you. If he needs to say something, he will. You don't listen to anything else. In the name of Jesus, freedom. Freedom in Jesus' name. Freedom in Jesus' name. Freedom. Hallelujah. Freedom. 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 Don't matter what other people think. Don't matter what other things. It's matter what Jesus thinks. You know, he likes you. He thinks you're a pretty nice guy. Hallelujah. Why? You're his. You're his child. You're his child. You belong to him. Hallelujah. Quit running yourself down. Don't give the devil any opportunity. Don't give him any opportunity. Hallelujah. Glory to God, ain't down on you. He's up on you in the name of Jesus. He's up on you. Hallelujah. In the name of Jesus. Hallelujah. He loves you and he died for you. Hallelujah. And you're his. You're his. You're his. He bought you with a price. Therefore, glorify God. Hallelujah. Glorify God. Hallelujah. 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 Oh, he's good. 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 And it's alive. I don't know what was said, but it's been alive. It ain't been true. It ain't been true about you. Oh, I know what's been true about you. And the Lord says, yes, yes, yes. I paid the price. I paid the price. I paid the price. Hallelujah. Live in the glory. Walk in the glory. Hallelujah. Think not on those things that come to you, because they were not brought there from your heart. They've been brought there from your head, from outside. Things have come in thoughts, and they are not yours. They're not yours. Hallelujah. But your heart's turned toward God. Your heart is desires to walk toward God. Hallelujah. And walk in and rejoice with a heart that's full of faith in the name of Jesus. A heart that's full of faith. Hallelujah. 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 Rest in peace. Rest in peace. Oh, my. Rest in peace. Yes, rest. Peace in the name of Jesus. Satan, I bind you. I bind you from coming against my sister's mind. You don't have a right there to that. I thank you, Lord God, for rest and peace upon her in the name of Jesus. I thank you, Lord God, when she lays her head down at night, you give her your beloved rest in the name of Jesus. She wakes up in the morning, she's just refreshed, refreshed, refreshed and whole in Jesus' name. Hallelujah, 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 hallelujah. Well, these words keep coming to me. Today's a day of stepping up. Today's a day of stepping out. Hallelujah. You stepped into a place. You've stepped into a place, and there's a breaking forth. For this is a time and a season of that breaking forth. Yes, and the glory of the Lord. You've hungered and thirst for righteousness, and he said, you'll be filled. You'll be filled. You've wanted more. He's going to give you more. Yes, and Satan has not wanted you to step into that place, but it's too late. It's too late. He's not going to be able to hold you back, for you're going to walk into that place with the fullness, and your eyes are going to be open to many things you have not seen or known before, and you'll walk in a place of glory and faith, hallelujah, that will bring great joy, not just to you, but to others, in the name of Jesus. 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 Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Praise God. Praise God. Praise you, Lord God. Praise you, Lord God. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Lord God, thank you for being so gracious to your people. Hallelujah. Thank you for being so gracious to your people. Hallelujah. You're a wonderful God. You love your people. Lord God, you don't judge us by the flesh. You judge us by our hearts. I'm so glad. I'm so glad. Oh, Lord God, you are so good. You are so good. So good. And I thank you for helping them and blessing them in the name of Jesus. Hallelujah. 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 I just want to, you know, there is an anointing here. Is there anybody else you need? Maybe something else you need if you want prayer for things. I mean, while the Spirit of God's moving, you know, it'd be good to flow with it because the anointing hasn't left me yet. So it'd be good if somebody would need something else. Hallelujah. Hallelujah.
What? I'm going to have surgery on Wednesday, so I'm also.
Oh, no, okay. All right. Quick recovery. All right. Hallelujah. What do you have him do?